But for whatever reason, he decided not to deliver some of his mail. Well, eventually, complaints started to come in about mail that was missed. And when the postal authorities investigated, they were able to eventually locate where all of this missing mail was. It was in Frank's attic. You see, over a 6-year period, Frank had stashed away all of the mail that he wouldn't deliver in his attic. They found over 1,200 bags of undelivered mail in Frank's attic. What's a mail carrier supposed to do? Deliver the mail, right? But because Frank didn't do what he was supposed to do, he started a widespread chain reaction of problems and pain for countless numbers of people, including his family and himself. Can you imagine? 6 years of not getting the critical pieces of mail that you need every day and every month. Can you imagine the problems that that would create in your life? And it was all because of a decision that Frank made. As I read that story, after I got over the initial shock, it made me ask another question. What's a Christian supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? And that's the question that we're seeking to answer in this three-part series on the five purposes of the church. Because the reality is that there are many, many Christians today. There are many people in the church today that don't know what they're supposed to do. And so each day, their attic, if you will, is being filled up with missed opportunities that will eventually cause a widespread chain reaction of problems and pain for countless numbers of people, including themselves and their families. The good news is that you don't have to be the next Frank Sosinski. Because the answer to the question, what's a Christian supposed to do, is found in the five purposes of the church. God has established this church for a purpose, for a reason. There is a reason why we exist. And likewise, God has created you for a purpose. There is a reason why you exist. The purposes of the church can also be thought of or stated as the five goals that God has for you and for me. And these goals express what God wants each of us to do with our lives. Everything that God asks us to do blesses us. And it also blesses others. If you want to start a chain reaction of blessing, then you do what God asks you to do. So the last time in part one, we covered the first two purposes of the church. Purpose one, we saw, was discipleship. And from a personal standpoint, it's that God wants me to be a model of His character. A model of His character. God wants you and me. He wants us to grow up. Can I hear you say, I want to grow up? That's good, because God does want you to grow up. He wants every believer to grow, to become more and more like Him in terms of our character. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul gives us a list of some specific areas in our life where we're supposed to grow up to become more and more like Jesus. We're to become more like Jesus in the area of our speech, our conduct, in our love, our purity, our faith. In part one of this series, I showed you guys a quote from Phillips Brooks. And he said, the great purpose of life is the shaping of character by truth. God is more interested in your character than probably any other area of your life. Because when our character is shaped by the Holy Spirit, our actions and our words, our thoughts, everything line up and we're able to do good. The only way that we're able to do good is because of the character of God that's active in our lives. If you don't make the effort to learn, if you don't make the effort to grow, to study, to become everything you can be in God, if you don't make the effort to be teachable, the good that you could be doing is piling up in your attic, like Frank Sosinski. John Maxwell, he's kind of a leadership guru. He talks about the law of the lid. And the law of the lid basically states that you can only go as far as your character allows you. One of the things that I learned when I was in the music industry in Los Angeles was that you can only truly go as far as your character allows. That's why so many famous people crash and burn at some point. Because your talent can only take you so far. Your personality, your charm, your good looks can only take you so far. Because when you hit the lid as far as your character, it all comes apart at that point. You can't go any further than the character that you have developed in your life. That's why it's so important to God that your character continues to grow, that you develop. That's the purpose of discipleship. That's our first purpose. The second purpose that we looked at was evangelism. God wants me to be a messenger of His love. Once we've been born again, we instantly become messengers of the good news to others. It's part of our job description. If you're a Christian, that's part of the gig. It's not about your personality. It's not about, well, I'm shy, or I'm this, or I'm that. Part of your job description is to be a messenger of God's good news. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20. This is from the Living Bible. It says, for God was in Christ, restoring the world to Himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. This is the wonderful message He has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you, as though Christ Himself were here pleading with you, receive the love he offers you. Be reconciled to God. Wednesday night in our men's study here, we started our new study on the book of Ephesians, and we were in chapter 1 of Ephesians. And we talked about how our responsibility as believers is to simply share the good news. It's to invite people. It's to connect with people in that way. It's not our responsibility what happens. Which is good news, man. You know what I mean? I'm just the messenger, bro. I'm just here to tell you, you know, Jesus is Lord. If you don't like it, that's, hey, have a good day. You know, I'm just here to invite you. You know, there's this stuff going on at the church. You know, it's really cool. If you want to come, that'd be great. No? Hey, all right, bro. I'm good. It ain't personal. It's not my responsibility. That's God's responsibility. We are simply the messenger. We are the mouthpiece of God. That's the beauty about being an ambassador. You don't speak for yourself. You have a message that you've been told to give to someone else. You give that message, and then you walk out the room. That's what an ambassador does. So purpose 2 is evangelism. God wants me to be a messenger of his love. Today we look at the next two purposes. Purpose number 3 is fellowship. Can I hear you say fellowship? God wants me to be a member of his family. That's awesome. To be a member of the family of God. The Bible is very, very clear that following Christ, being a Christian, is not just a matter of believing. Can I say that one more time? You guys are looking at me like, being a Christian is not just a matter of believing, but it also means to belong. You belong somewhere. And that's why our new church logo is focused on that. That the church, this church, is not just a place where we believe, but it's a place where we belong. The Christian life is not a solo act. It's not a solo act. God has given us the church as a spiritual family for our benefit. Everything that God asks you to do is for your benefit. It benefits you and it benefits others. It sets off that widespread chain reaction. Ephesians 2:19, this is also the Living Bible translation, says, "You are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian." Biblical fellowship is both social and spiritual interaction. It includes both. It involves both. So biblical fellowship is not just eating together. I know that may surprise some of you. Biblical fellowship is not just eating together. It's not just hanging out together. Okay? Just going to the movies isn't biblical fellowship. Because it involves, true fellowship involves 3 things. Number 1, it involves having in common. having in common, and specifically, the thing that you have in common is the Word of God. True fellowship is based on two or more people being together because they share the same belief in the Word of God. The word fellowship in the Greek literally means having in common. Having in common. So fellowship is more than friendship. Because fellowship is based on the Word of God. The second component of true fellowship is decision. It involves a decision. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, let us consider how. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This passage in Hebrews shows us that some choose fellowship while others don't. You see that? Some choose fellowship, but then other people don't. Because there's decision involved. This is a Frank Sosinski moment. Do I deliver all the mail? Or do I put it in my attic? Do I fellowship with my brothers and sisters or not? This week, I read a story about a pastor who was traveling with a Brazilian seminary student in his car. And along the way, I guess it's a pretty long drive. And along the way, the pastor asked the student if he would like to stop for a cup of coffee. And the student said, I would be honored. So the pastor pulls off and he sees a Starbucks and swings into the Starbucks, goes through the drive-thru, orders the coffee. They get back on the road. They're going. And as they're going, The student is just very silent and doesn't say anything for quite a while. And finally, the pastor's like, hey, are you okay? You know, like, how come I'm feeling the vibe here? Something's going on. And finally, the student said, well, I thought you were asking me to be your friend. I thought we were going to sit together and share life. Living in fellowship is sharing life. It's sharing all of life. But it involves a decision on our part. The third component of true fellowship is supernatural. Is that it's supernatural. Fellowship, true fellowship is something that's renewed every day by the Holy Spirit. Max Lucado wrote a book called Imagine Your Life Without Fear. And from that book, he says this, questions can make hermits out of us, driving us into hiding. Yet the cave has no answers. Christ distributes courage through community. He dissipates doubts through fellowship. He never deposits all knowledge in one person, but distributes pieces of the jigsaw puzzle to many. When you interlock your understanding with mine, and we share our discoveries, when we mix, mingle, confess, and pray, Christ speaks. The three components of true fellowship. God has created the church for the purpose of us having a place to belong, to connect. You are a member of God's very own household. That's the third purpose of the church. The next purpose, purpose number four, is service. Purpose four is service. God wants me to be a minister of His grace. God wants me to be a minister of His grace. Service is a responsibility for every believer. Ministry is service. Service is ministry. I mean, you guys say that. Ministry is service. Service is ministry. One more time. Ministry is service. Service is ministry. Let's get a rhythm. Let's get some kind of rhythm going on here. Ministry is service. Service is ministry. Ministry is service. Service is ministry. So now, if I ever stop you in the hallway and go, "So what's ministry?" You won't be like, because ministry is service. Service is ministry. God expects you to use the gifts, the talents, the opportunities, the resources that He gives you for the benefit of others. So that thing that you're really, really good at, that you always thought was just for you, sorry, that's not why He gave it to you. He gave it to you for the benefit of others. The widespread chain reaction of good. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards." That word is important. That means whatever that gift was doesn't belong to you. "As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." When you look at the Great Commission from Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18, where Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And in verse 20, it goes on and says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." The Great Commission. When you look at the Great Commission, it really reminds us that truly caring for people means sacrificing our time and our resources. You can't go into all of the world preaching the gospel without sacrifice, without using everything you have to make that happen. To fulfill the very thing that God tells us to do involves sacrificing our time, our energy, our resources, our gifts. I love the quote from John Wesley. He said, "Do all the good that you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." That involves sacrificing time, energy, resources. God intends for every believer to have a ministry. And here at our church, we are way up front about that. This ain't a bait and switch. You know, now that you're here, now he tells us that we're way up front. It's part of our membership class. It's part of the expectations. It's part of the very culture, the fabric of who we are, who we've been for 16 years. Service is ministry. Ministry is service. I love what Rick Warren said, the pastor of Saddleback Church in Southern Cal. He said, when you give your life to Christ, you are signing up to minister in his name for the rest of your life. When you give your life to Christ, it doesn't just mean attending a church. That was never Jesus' thought. I mean, would you go through torture and die just so people could come in and have a place to sit? Does that make sense? When you give your life to Christ, you are signing up to minister in his name for the rest of your life. So what is servanthood? Gail Irwin, in his book, The Jesus Style, he describes it this way. A servant's job is to do all he can to make life better for others, to free them to be everything they can be. A servant's first interest is not in himself, but others. Servanthood is a loving choice we make to minister to others. God wants me to be a minister of his grace. Otherwise, all of our gifts, our talents, our resources, all pile up, wasted, and are at it. I want to close with a kind of a humorous illustration. It's actually an obituary, but I think you guys will relate to this. You will understand where I'm coming from with this, and you know, probably right away. It says, we are all saddened to learn this week of the death of one of our church's most valuable members, someone else. Someone else's passing created a vacancy that will be difficult to fill. Someone else has been with us for many years. And for every one of those years, someone else did far more than a normal person's share of the work. Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, or a meeting to attend, one name was on everyone's list. Someone else. Let someone else do it, was a common refrain heard throughout the church. It was common knowledge that someone else was among the largest givers in the church. Whenever there was a financial need, everyone just assumed someone else would make up the difference. Someone else was a wonderful person, sometimes appearing superhuman. But a person can only do so much. But now, someone else is gone. We wonder what we're going to do. Someone else left a wonderful example to follow, but who's going to follow it? Who's going to do the things that someone else did? Isn't that great? I think it's great anyway. All the pastors in the house were like, amen. So I've given you guys the next two purposes of the church: fellowship and service. Before we pray, I want to ask you a question. Where are you? Are you doing the things you're supposed to do as a Christian? Are you doing what God has called you to do. Whether it be discipleship, whether it be evangelism, whether it be fellowship, or whether it's service. It's up to you to do what you're supposed to. Because if you will, you will start a widespread chain reaction of good, of blessing, for countless numbers of people, including your family and yourself. Will you guys bow your heads? Lord God, we just want to set this time aside. We want to quiet our hearts, quiet our minds. And we want to focus. We want to listen carefully for your voice. Father, I pray that you will speak. That God, that even if you've been speaking to people today, that this would be a moment where you confirm, where you answer the question, God, did I hear you right? Am I hearing you right for what you're asking me to do? Lord, I pray that you will confirm and that you would speak and guide each one of us today. Help us to honestly look at our lives in the light of your truth, in the light of what you desire. And Father, I just pray that you will give us courage to make whatever change you're asking us to make. We just give you this time now in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed, I just want to ask you if you feel that God has spoken to you in some way today. Perhaps he's challenged you. Perhaps he's encouraged you. Maybe there's things that you're doing that are where you're really dialed in. Maybe there's just minor adjustments that need to be made as far as your life, your time, whatever that might be, your resources. For others of you, maybe there was a time when you were doing the things that we've talked about today, but you've gotten distracted. You've gotten off course. Maybe there's others of you that have never really gotten started, and you sense that now's the time for you to begin to move in these areas that we talked about. But whatever it might be, if you sense that God has spoken to you somehow this morning, and you are in agreement with him, and you would say, yes, God, you're right. I need to do that. Would you just lift your hand right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to give you a moment between you and the Lord. Whatever that is, that you would say yes to him. That you would allow him to move you in the direction that he wants you to go in these four areas, these four purposes of his church. Lord God, I just want to stand with, agree with each person right now who's pouring their hearts out to you. Father, I just pray that you will bring a clarity, that you will bring a focus. I pray that there would be an incredible joy that will come into their lives, in their hearts, as they align themselves with you according to your plans and your purposes for their lives. And for this church, I pray, God, that as a church, we would grow and be strengthened because of the gifts that you've blessed each person with. So, Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for helping us know what it is that we're supposed to do. Thank you, God, that we don't have to stumble through life not knowing. So, God, I just speak blessing over your people now. in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's give the Lord praise. Well, it's time to take our offering, and as we prepare for that, if you have your your bulletin, you should have an envelope for your tithe and offering. And also wanted to mention that we're getting close. We just have a couple more weeks left for our legacy offering, our annual legacy offering. Right now, we're at our goal is $12,000. We're just about halfway there. We're a little bit under $6,000. So this is time for us to step up, because we still have a few more weeks to go, and because the legacy offering ends on January 31st. So I just wanted to also just let you guys know that because of the legacy offering, even what's given so far, man, we've been able to launch our Delta Club kids club ministry. There's some really cool stuff that's coming to our youth group because of that. And so I just really want to encourage you to be faithful. If you haven't prayed about what God, you know, haven't asked God to tell you what it is that He wants you to give to the offering, please be sure and do that. But we have a couple more weeks to go to reach our goal. We've always reached it. You guys have always come through. And I'm really, really excited for these next couple of weeks, because our kids, not only in our church, but in our community, are going to benefit because of your sacrifice. Amen? Amen. All right, I want to go ahead and pray, and then Luann's going to sing, and we're going to send you guys out into the fog with a blessing. Father God, we thank you so much for today. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're doing in our lives, Lord. Because it's real. I pray, Lord, that you will direct our hearts now as we give to you, both in terms of our tithe and our offerings, Lord, our simple obedience, and also our sacrifice through our legacy offering. God, we ask that you would bless and multiply what the people give today, and that you would bless and multiply in their lives as well. We thank you for everything, God. In Jesus' name, amen.